I want participation in the debate on FM on rural mall, transit mall. It's a very important topic. I could not miss that opportunity. So I thought I thought that I would be unconditionally forgiven for coming late and prioritizing my participation in that debate of rural mall and township mall. Their impact on the small business in township. We will talk about that. Thank you very much. But before we even start, I would want to make the committee aware that last week, Honorable Chan has to rush back to England. He sent me a message because his mother was critically ill. And he has since received the news that she eventually has gone. And before we can then even start and get other apologies, I think that we need to then observe a moment of silence in support of him and his family. And we really miss him because we know the contribution that he would have made in this community when we are discussing it. And if Honorable Hooker can also make the DA aware that we are saddened by those who then we are wasting in all our affairs. Can we then observe the moment of silence? Is there nothing to observe the moment of silence? Thank you very much. We have scheduled this meeting to take place until 700 hours. The reason for that is that we are dealing with the threat plan and also the annual performance plan. And we would want to give ourselves enough time to discuss that. We welcome the minister and officials from the department. We know that it is not an easy task to establish a new department. It is even more difficult to establish a department and inherit functions that were performed by another department before, including the staff that come from the previous department, because you have two responsibilities. You have the responsibility of establishing the department in terms of the mandate given to you, but you also have the responsibility of ensuring that there is change in terms of thinking. In other words, you also become a priest in a church that tries to make adults to be born again and think differently. So that is the most difficult task, because you have to de-educate. First, you need to make people see things the way you see them. And in doing that, you then start with the process of erasing what they are used to, the manner in which they are used to doing things, remove them out of the comfort zone, to make them occupy the new space. It becomes even more difficult when you don't have your own home. You are inheriting a function, you are inheriting yourself, but you are still operating under the same office that they used to. Then you are more like a stepchild in the environment. And that works psychologically. Some people may think it is not an important issue. It is a very, very important issue. That's why the newly wed move out from his family, Yagubogan Dombazani, to the family, Yagubogan Fana, because she is now part of another family and she has to learn new ways of doing things according to the family that she has married. And if she was to get married and still remain at maiden home, it would be very, very difficult. So adapting to doing things in a new way and accept that you are no longer the TI. You are small business development. Small business and cooperative development is a process. It's not something that it requires our patience as a portfolio committee and assisting you. It also requires patience and understanding. That means that you are from another world, you are being plugged into a new world. But where there is resistance, deliberate resistance, we will not be shy to deal with that. Because the targets are very stringent. Issues of high unemployment. This weekend I was reading an article of a young girl that was charged for, she needed to fish, she was charged for sending her nude photos. She's 18 years old, and the man that she was sending the nude photos to is 42 years old. She was charged and was found guilty. The sentence was overturned through the intervention of an organization that fights against the abuse of young girls. Because the explanation was, I was not brought up by my father. I was brought up by my mother, but she didn't have means. And I was approached by a Muslim who promised me that if I sent him my nude photos, he would give me money. And that was a source of income in my family. That's what he would then use to make ends meet. So that is how serious the situation is out there. And we are charged with the responsibility. I've been making this mistake of using the international trend in terms of the number of jobs that are expected from SMEs to say 80%. In our set, the NDP is saying 90%. So 9.9 million jobs by 2030 are expected to come from small business and cooperative. Yes, if we don't make an impact of a positive impact on that, the entire government will be free. But let us look at this way. If South Africa has failed to meet the requirements put by FIFA in order for South Africa to host 2010. The only one that was going to be blamed. So, in terms of government, it is the Department of Sport and Recreation, and in terms of sport bodies, it was not going to be rugby, cricket, it was going to be soccer. So, we must not then think that because there are opportunities in all other departments, and there are opportunities in the retail sector, in the manufacturing sector, in the mining sector, and in agricultural sector, we can then blame other departments. The blame will be on us because this department is the one that is actually the responsibility of developing SMEs and corporations, not other departments. Other departments can provide support and open opportunities for that to happen, but the department that is charged, its core business is to develop SMEs and corporations, this department. So, I sometimes feel like we are thrown in this end of the day to say 11 million more jobs, but 90% of that must come from us. I don't know, maybe I would want to die before 2030. If I die before 2030, I will then escape the blame. But if evaluation is made on yearly basis, then it could be, I must pray to die before the assessment of whether we were able to produce 650,000 jobs by 2016. Because if we can't produce 650,000 by 2016, there's no way then that we would be able to produce 9.9 million by 2018. So, because those who will take from us will then start blaming us, which is we are the ones that say it because we were the foundation of the department. So that's how serious this issue is. So, Minister, I know your passion, and the floor is now yours. But before we do that, can we then have, do we have any apologies other than Honorable Charles?
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, Chair. Good morning, Honorable Members. Good morning, Minister, and good morning, colleagues from the department. We've got an apology, as the chairperson has indicated. We've got an apology from Mr. Chance, and then I also received an apology from the Deputy Minister, Elizabeth Tabete, that she will not be able to attend the scheduled meeting of the Portfolio Committee as she'll be leading a Progressive Business Forum delegation to Tanzania from the 23rd to the 27th of March 2015. I also get another standing apology of Mr. Nkwangwa, who is our orphanage. And then those are the apologies that I received. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Can we then move to item number 3? Presentation by the minister and the department. Thank you very much, Chairperson, and thank you very much, honorable members. Before I start, I'm going to ask my delegation to please introduce themselves, starting with the acting DG.
Good morning. My name is Linda Wilson, current acting DG, Department of Small Business Development.
Good morning. My name is also Paul Maiki, acting DG, Department of Small Business Development. Thank you.
Morning.
Mishal, the first water, Chief Director responsible for enterprise development.
Good morning, my name is Shafin Dumo, Chief Director of Cooperatives Development.
Good morning, my name is Zwanele Memani, Acting Chief Director responsible for entrepreneurship and franchising.
Good morning, my name is Kulani Fulari, currently I'm responsible for incentives, including BDSDP.
Oh, sorry.
The Black Business Supply Development Program.
Good morning, I'm Imamelen Mohebe. I'm currently acting in the position of Cluster Oversight and Strategic Planning Chief Director.
Good morning, my name is Oli Kudelane, the Financial Liaison Officer. Thank you.
Good morning, I'm Nomvula Makosha. I'm the Chief Director responsible for Gender and Women Economic Empowerment.
Thank you very much, Chief Fishing. As you earlier indicated, we are a new department and therefore...
Oh. Thank you very much, Colleague Chair. My apology for interrupting to both yourself and the Minister. I don't know whether I made a mistake. Did we get anybody who is representing, who is on the part of accounting on the finances? In the line of CFO, or did I miss that?
No, we don't have that person. That's why we have been operating with an MOU that we signed with the Department of Trade and Industry to assist us while we are filling up the posts that are necessary in the department. So we don't have no.
So in the meantime, while we don't have, do we have somebody who is, while they are doing it, but who is a link effectively from our side?
No, absolutely. The acting DG and the chief of staff and the rest of the people who are here, we carry that responsibility too, because if we have to deal with any issues that are related to the budget, they cannot claim ignorance. Maybe they must claim ignorance of that, because even if we can have the CFO, it still remains our responsibility, all of us, to make sure that the accounting is properly done. We did have a meeting yesterday with the Department of Trade and Industry in relation to those issues that are related to fast-tracking the process of the CFO, and I think that we are on track with that. Thank you.
My last comment I would share is that I would advise that the members that, not members, but the officials that the Minister is speaking of, who carry this responsibility, should, while it's right from the beginning, be very close to the Auditor General's office, so that this interim period we move hand in hand with the Auditor General's office, so that if there are any issues that they think we should actively note, you know, and if there are any challenges, the more we interact with them, the better, until the ship falls completely in our hands. Thanks for the chair.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, and thank you, Honorable Mabasa, about that. In fact, we already have correspondence that comes from that office, and so that's why I'm saying that each one of us, in my view, needs to be able to be accountable in as far as the area is concerned. And the memorandum of understanding that we still have with the Department of Trade and Industry has been very helpful, because we have been working with people who have been in the institution for a long time. They have also been raising issues with us in terms of accountability of the resources of government. So we are very conscious, and the responsibility also lied with the former DG, Pumla Mapai, and I will speak about that in a while. But also now that we have a new acting DG, that responsibility also falls squarely on him, on making sure that we abide by the provisions thereof. Yes.
Thank you.
if I may, Chairperson, continue. Maybe let me start by saying that we do wish to thank the portfolio committee for all the positive engagements we have had with the committee, and it's been a very useful exercise for us because we do believe in the oversight that has to be done by the portfolio committee firstly. Secondly, we would like to say that the portfolio committee at all times must feel very comfortable about asking us the really relevant and difficult questions it may be, because we believe that as a new department it's important for us to be asked those hard questions, because through those hard questions we think it's the best way that we can be able to sharpen our capacity and capability of delivering on the mandate that has been given to us. Thirdly, I'd like to also say to the portfolio committee, we had an acting DG, Pumlani Mapai, who requested to step down, and I would like the committee to really appreciate this, because it wasn't like anyone of us requested her to leave, but she on her own just decided that she's requesting to step down, and I tried to convince her otherwise, but of course she has already made up her mind, and I had a good meeting with her. The good thing is that we didn't part on any bad food or bad blood, which I think is what worried me in the beginning, but we had a conversation. She really wanted to go back to where she was before, because she feels like her passion still lies there, and she's back into the Department of Children and in the post that she was in before she came over to us, as I requested her to be the acting DG. Now, of course, we have Lindsay, who fortunately for us has also been in the space, so it's not going to be that difficult. But of course, living there is also a very short period of time, because we already started the process of advertising and ensuring that we fulfill the institutional processes and make sure that we get people to apply and do the selection and do the interviews and everything. So he's only here for the next 2 months until we complete the process, which was started already. We've got quite a number of CVs that we received, and we are being assisted by the Department of Trade and Industry, also the human resource side of us, to make sure that we fill this post. If only that post is also the post that Honorable Nema Mabasa is talking about, that's another post that is a priority to us. But all in all, I just want to say that I don't want to have acting people for too long, because you're not in Hollywood. Ours is to make sure that we've got permanent people that can be able to assist us. And also for me, stability is very important. Anybody who's in any position, we need to work towards ensuring that it's stable, because they know that they are now permanently on the job. But I must say, one of the challenges we had was the fact that when we produced we worked out on a structure that we thought was the structure that was going to be able to assist us in fulfilling our mandate. Of course, there are government processes and public service which then changed and reversed some of the plans that we had in as far as the structure and the number of people that we wanted in the department. And the understanding, obviously, is that there is a terrible constraint, a financial constraint. So all of us in government are requested to take that into consideration. But of course, it's difficult for us in a new department that we are formed at a very awkward time when the money is not there. However, we continue to engage both with the Department of Public Service and the soul of Minister Thabane Rose in peace, because we were supposed to have a meeting the very day that he passed on in the afternoon to discuss these issues of the human resource part of our organizational structure. Unfortunately, that was not to be. But there is an acting minister who I'm supposed to have a conversation with this afternoon to carry that forward, because unfortunately for us, we can't afford the backing, because we need people on the ground and the right people on the ground to make sure that they assist us on implementing what we are presenting to you today. I just would like to say, to thank the portfolio committee also for having been with us even at the workshop for the workshops that we've had to make sure that we finally come with both the strategic plan but as well as the annual plan that is being presented to you today. We would also like to apologize for pushing to say we are sure that in the next financial year we will not be presenting to you this late when you also have a timetable that you have to fulfill, that is the timetable of Parliament. And I am just asking for your indulgence here that we understand that we are a bit late in terms of the timetable and the processes of the portfolio committee, but we feel there is a certain thing that we needed to do to make sure that what we present to you here is something that is much more substantial and something that is thoroughly thought through. And of course, your contributions are going to be also appreciated as the presentation is being done. Finally, Chair, I'd like to say that since we started in this department, I must say that we've had very good support by the committee, but also I'd like to say that we've had very good support from the government side in terms of the executive and the ministers, my colleagues in cabinet, have been very supportive. But of course, being supportive in words and in policy formulation and all is one thing, but also being supportive in ensuring that the implementation of those policies is another. That is where the bag is going to be for us in the department. But I think we are up to it. We are ready for it. We think that the very support that we hear from the president himself, who believes that the radical economic transformation that we are talking about will only happen if we strengthen and upscale the support that we give to small and medium enterprises and cooperatives. We feel that that support, both from the president and the deputy, by the way, and the support that we get in cabinet meetings and in cabinet committee meetings is something that we appreciate, but we'd like to say it's not going to be easy. And I think as a portfolio committee, you're seeing for yourselves when some of the departments that you come into the portfolio committee to make a presentation, it's very clear that you need to have very sharp eyes and sharp ears to make sure that ultimately that understanding that each and every one of them have got something to offer as far as small and medium enterprises and cooperatives is concerned, we need to be on the lookout at all times. The presentation which we're facing today is going to be done by both Lindenhle and Mzo, and I will also be coming in from time to time when necessary, but I suspect let me make the introductory remarks so that I lay the foundation for the presentation. As I said earlier on, members, you are welcome to really look with a microscope into what we're presenting to you here, because at the end of the day, the only way that we can be good in what we do is also to listen to the portfolio committee and advise us where necessary, and I think we will work together in ensuring that finally we change the lives of our people, but focus particularly on small and medium enterprises and cooperatives. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Over to you.
I would like to be given an opportunity at some point to run to the economic class meeting, the even item that's on the agenda that would need my attention, but I will go there, deal with that issue and come back. Maybe I'll be in about an hour's time or so.
Can I also make a correction on my opening remarks? I've just done a calculation now. We are dealing with the strategic plan of 2015-2016, which means that it's no longer 15, we no longer divide 9.9 by 15 years. We divide 9.9 million by 14. Then give us 707,142 jobs a year. Then this is, I thought it is important for us to understand that point, so that my presenter will have that in mind. That is what we are actually expected to be presenting as an achievement in the fourth quarter of this financial year. Financial person, thank you for that. I was really shivering in my boots when I saw the figures that you gave to us.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, honorable members. Thank you, Minister. Colleagues. This is the outline of the presentation, the thing that we are going to cover quickly. And then, as Minister said, I'll hand over to Mizo to deal with the ACT. We are going to look at the primary policy instruments that are informing what we do, the mandate of the department, the vision, mission, strategic objectives, strategic plan, as well as the MCEF 2015-2018, as well as the budget. Generally, the characteristics of our economies and cooperatives in South Africa, we know the issues that are facing them, the issue of low recovery rate, high failure rate, lack of specialized and focused support, with very limited resources that have been directed to SMEs and cooperatives. The issue of the fact that the mandate of economic development has been lying with different government departments since 1994, as well as the issue of the fact that there has been a misalignment in terms of the approach between the resolution of the ANC as well as the government decisions on economic transformation. Then the other element that we are all aware of is the poor performance of our SMEs relative to SMEs and co-ops in other countries. Then the other element is the issue of lack of sectoral cohesion in advancing the objectives of the SMEs and cooperatives. We've had
for a point of clarity, we don't know which document is used now for the presentation that we see on the board. It can be indicated which document.
Apologies, Honourable Members. We summarize the statement that you have in front of you. It's a strategic plan. Yes.
Continue with the presentation while they are then trying to make the hard copies available, hard copies of the presentation available to us. Okay.
Thank you, Chair. We've had several engagements with various structures to try and come up with a common objective in terms of engaging them so that they can also buy into the of the department. We've interacted with various institutions including BBC, NAPCOP, the co-ops movement, and other business structures. And then the most important decision that was taken by the government, which was the establishment of the new department that was focusing on SMEs and cooperative development, and by focusing mainly on the designated groups, which is youth, women, and people with disabilities.
The primary policy instrument that are informing what we are doing is mainly the National Development Plan, which has set very, very high targets for SMEs and cooperatives. As the chairperson was saying, we have to contribute 90% of the jobs by 2030. We have to make sure that we are the ones who are assisting the economy to achieve the radical economic transformation. But to achieve this, there are things that we need to do as government, but we cannot do these things alone. We are relying on support of other structures, including the private sector community, as well as labor. We as government, we are committed to ensuring that we provide appropriate infrastructure for SMEs to thrive. We provide skills and development support. We also deal with the issue of regulation, which indeed the development of SMEs and cooperatives as a movement, and as well as trying to develop appropriate sector strategies that are going to address issues that are faced by different sectors, because we don't want to apply an approach where we expect to develop one policy that would address all the challenges, but we need to make sure that it is designed like a specific strategy. And then we are also guided by the medium-term strategic framework, the new growth path, the IPAP. We are also looking at the issues that have been addressed. There are sectors that have been added both in the National Development Plan as well as the IPAP, which include mining, agriculture, and manufacturing. We are fully participating in the implementation of the medium-term strategic framework as Department of Small Business Development on Outcome 4, but we are also participating in Outcome 7, which is being led by Department of Rural Development and Outcome 4. There are serious commitments, like I indicated, on the NGP from the side of small businesses, what we are expected to achieve. We have identified certain targets and ensuring that we work together with other national departments, provincial as well as local. But most importantly, the issue of radical socio-economic transformation and service delivery is what will be driving us in the next 4 years. 4 years and 1 month, Chairperson. Outcome 4, which is our main focus in the NTSF, talks of decent employment through inclusive economic growth. And the outcome 2, which applies directly to us, covers the issue of red tape reduction, the enhancement of township economies. This function has been transferred from the Department of Economic Development to us, the Department of Small Business Development, so we're driving the township economic development as well as rural enterprise development strategy. Also, the element of coaching and incubating SMEs and co-ops is quite critical to us. We'll be doing this supported by EDD, which is Economic Development, Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries, as well as the GTI, as well as programs to ensure increased access to employment and entrepreneurship for Black women and youth. They are part of the MTSF commitments. Development of appropriate sanctions with regard to non-compliance in relation to the 30-day payment period. This we are driving together with the Department of Performance Monitoring and Evaluation. Then the primary legislation that are informing our work, the Small Business Development Act, the National Small Business Act, 1996, amended in 2004, the Companies Act, Cooperative Act, Industrial Development Cooperation Act. Then the other supplementary legislation is BBBE Act, National Empowerment Act, Preferential Procurement Act, Youth Enterprise Development Strategy, Women and Gender, Women Empowerment Strategy, Cooperative Strategy, as well as Innovation and Knowledge Strategy. The mandate is very clear. We see ourselves as leading an integrated approach to the promotion and development of small businesses and cooperatives through a focus on the economic and legislative drivers that stimulate entrepreneurship to contribute to radical economic transformation. This will lead to increased employment, poverty reduction, and reduced inequality. We are emphasizing on the way it leads there because we believe that we cannot do this on our own, but we are charged with the responsibility of leading this momentous task, and we are going to deliver it, given, you know, the interactions that we've been having with various departments led by the portfolio committee here. We know that we have support of other government departments, and we are going to be able to make sure that our SMEs and corporations are playing the role that they are supposed to play as an institution in the NCT. Vision, what we'd like to see is to have a radically transformed economy through effective development and increased participation of SMEs and cooperatives in the mainstream economy. Then our mission is to create a conducive environment for the development and growth of SMEs and cooperatives through the provision of enhanced financial and non-financial support services, competitiveness, market access, promotion of entrepreneurship, advancing localization, and leveraging on public and private procurement. So we realize that we need to for SMEs and co-ops to thrive, they need to operate in a very conducive environment. That includes, you know, provision of enhanced financial and non-financial support. I acknowledge that the Department of Trade and Industry has been doing something around SME development, but we think it's about time that we enhance the financial and non-financial support. Also, drive the issue of competitiveness, because we don't want to people or government departments to support SMEs and co-ops. Because it's disorder for them, they should support them because they see that they are competitive enterprises. The issue of market access is very critical, and government will be leading that issue of opening up market opportunities, market access opportunities for our SMEs and cooperatives. Our values are derived from the Batubia principles. We are customer focused. We serve with integrity, honesty, efficiency, will be accessible to the public, will be committed, as well as human dignity, which we are promoting. We believe that even people who are exposing South Africans to economic opportunities will assist them to achieve the dignity that they deserve. We have four strategic objectives. The first one is to facilitate development and growth of small businesses and cooperatives, so that they can contribute to inclusive and shared economic growth and job creation through public and private sector procurement. The second objective is to facilitate a radical economic transformation through increased participation of small businesses and cooperatives in the mainstream economy. We know that in other areas, SMEs and cooperatives contribute the majority of the jobs, as well as they contribute in other areas 60-80% of the GDP. So that's what we see happening in South Africa in the near future. And then to advocate for a conducive regulatory environment for SMEs and cooperatives to enable access to finance, investment, trade, and market access in a equitable and sustainable manner. Here we are looking at the issue of addressing the environment and ensure that co-ops and SMEs are able to thrive. We make sure that we provide access, easy access, to our SMEs and cooperatives to financial and non-financial support. That's because we realize that in our agencies, in certain instances, they are not accessible to people who are living, for example, in rural and low marginalized areas. So we have to make sure that we provide that business development as well as financial support to our SMEs and cooperatives in this area. And critically, we facilitate partnerships with all spheres of government as well as the private sector to ensure mutual cooperation that will benefit small businesses and cooperatives. For us, partnerships are going to be very critical going forward. We are not just looking at all other national government departments, we are also looking at provincial as well as local, and most critically the private sector, as well, because their procurement spend is much, much bigger than government spend, so we need to make sure that they are providing these opportunities for our SMEs and cooperatives. In terms of the operational structure, like the Minister was indicating in her opening remarks, that we've been having serious discussions, intense discussions with the DFA as well as National Treasury. It has not been easy because we wanted more than this. There are critical functions that we wanted to see in the structure, which include research, monitoring and evaluation, because we know that we cannot develop appropriate instruments if we don't have research and also an instrument that will also assist you to monitor what you are implementing, because we don't want to throw money at whatever problems we SMEs and cooperatives encounter, but we want to make sure that whatever decision we take are informed by appropriate research. So currently, this is the structure that has been given to us by TSA. It's the Deputy Director General of Corporate Services, which includes HR, finance, IT, and then Deputy Director General focusing on cooperative development, as well as Deputy Director General focusing on enterprise development and entrepreneurship. Then under Program 1, which is administration, the purpose of this division is to provide strategic leadership to the department and its entities to ensure successful implementation of the department's mandate through sustainable and integrated resource solutions and services that are customer driven. Then the SRAP program, which are under this program of administration, is the ministry, which is responsible for providing leadership and policy direction to the department. The Office of the Director General, which provides overall management of the DFPD's resources. Then, data oversight and strategic planning, which is critical for us in driving our work within the economic cluster. There we are looking at also including the elements of strategic planning. On page 56. Then we have corporate services which look at HR, IT, legal, as well as auxiliary management. Then financial management, we're looking at the CFO and all those management accounting and all those other services that are related to financial management, as well as communication and marketing, because it's critical that people know what we do and know where to get our services and products that we offer to our SMEs and cooperatives. Those are the programs that are falling under Program 1, which is administration. Then Program 2 is cooperative development. And the purpose of this program is to create an enabling environment that will facilitate the establishment, growth and development of cooperatives through the development and review of policy and legislation, and provision of enhanced financial and non-financial support services utilizing improved institutional arrangements. The SRAP program under this program 2 is primary cooperatives, where we are looking at support for startups, including the instruments that we are going to utilize here, the Cooperative Development Agency, the Cooperative Incentive Scheme, as well as interventions that are directed towards secondary marketing cooperatives. Here, honorable members, we are looking at the issue of establishing an agency that will assist cooperatives, because it's not going to help us to lump cooperatives with SMEs, because they have different needs which need to be addressed or supported or provided by people who are specialists in the cooperative sector. And then the Cooperative Incentive Scheme, we are going to look at reviewing this instrument so that it can also cover services that could be offered by secondary marketing cooperatives. So services like logistical support, quality management, market development, all those services that can be offered by a secondary marketing cooperative will be offered under the Cooperative Incentive Scheme. Then Incubation Support Program, we need to nurture these cooperatives to be sustainable enterprises. It's one of the interventions that we're going to be driving as Department of Multi-Business Development. And then Cooperative Supply Development Program, which is aimed at enabling the potential supplier to improve performance and all capabilities to meet the buyer's supply needs. Because we don't want to force or to regulate the public as well as the private sector into including or into integrating the cooperatives in their value chain. But we want to make sure that we have capable and competitive cooperatives who can be easily integrated into the value chain of these big corporations. Then the other critical element under cooperatives is the intergovernmental relations and market development. Here we are looking at working together with other spheres of government for the sustainable development of economies and cooperatives through ensuring access to markets. Here we are focusing on all three spheres of government as well as other national governments that can offer procurement opportunities to SMEs. So we are looking at that and making sure that access to market is provided for our cooperatives and SMEs. But also the element of market development, which is, should be a continuous exercise. We cannot just rest on what government will be offering to SMEs and cooperatives, but we need to continuously develop the market for our SMEs and cooperatives. And then the last crucial part is that of research, planning, monitoring, evaluation, which I indicated previously that we wanted this to be a standalone division, because it's very critical that we have viable information that we can utilize to review the policies that we have, review the instruments that we have, and get viable or reliable information that can assist us to take our cooperatives and SMEs from one level to another. So this component is there, but it would also cover the SMEs because we could not find another home for it. Then the last one, which is program three, is enterprise development and entrepreneurship. Here we're looking at creating an enabling environment for the development and growth of sustainable small businesses so that they can contribute to the creation of employment and economic growth. The third program is enterprise development, where we will focus on facilitating establishment of new and productive enterprises as well as sustainability and growth of existing enterprises. This sub-program also provides an oversight on Small Enterprise Development Agency. And then the second one is entrepreneurship and franchising, where we are going to be looking at the issue of identifying potential entrepreneurs and providing with the necessary business skills as well as identifying SMEs and cooperatives that have the potential to franchise. This is very important for us because there are a number of entrepreneurship initiatives that are being directed by non-governmental organizations, the private sector, but government has not been playing that leadership role in this sector. We have been looking at the HRCD report, Human Resource Development Council, and we are implementing recommendations that are talking to entrepreneurship development. Franchising is one of the instruments that would drive the issue of ensuring that they set up ownership of the economy by the previously marginalized groups. Here we are also looking at the issue of micro-franchising, where we are looking at township enterprises, because we've been approached by quite a number of people who are operating their business in the townships. They want us to assist them in taking this. We are already piloting one micro-franchise in five micro-franchises in Cape Town, in Kuwaito. And then the other sub-program is that of incentive grants and soft loans, where we'll be providing incentives or instruments that will assist our SMEs and cooperatives. Some of the programs that are falling under this instrument is Black Business Supplier Development Program, Women Business Development Scheme, as well as Youth Black Business Development Supplier Program. Then the other sub-program is the Regional Industrial Special Project, where we are looking at promoting socially balanced economic development and productivity improvements by developing policies, strategies, and programs that focus on small businesses and cooperatives in underdeveloped regions, where we are looking at the elements of decentralizing the business development supports that we are offering. The issue of co-location, where we hope to bring all instruments or all government departments and institutions that have something to do with small business development. Here we are talking about CIPC, which offers you know, the service of registration is far. We've already had discussions with some of these institutions because we want to make sure that people are able to go and do the whole value chain in terms of starting from the registration, development of the business plan, after to finance in the same place instead of them having to go to different areas just to get or to set up a business. The other critical element under this program is that of LED strategies of municipalities. Municipalities, they develop the LED strategies, and in most cases it's more of a compliance issue, you know, that's a tick above that they have an LED strategy. But we want to make sure that through their LED strategy they are able to implement the program that we are driving as the kind of small business development. So we are looking at ensuring that these strategies are not just developed for the sake of complying, but they are implementable strategies. Then the other very important sub-program is gender, youth and people with disabilities. Here we are unapologetic that we will be prioritizing women-owned SMEs and cooperatives. We will also be supporting enterprises that are run by people with disabilities, as well as mentioning of youth enterprises. We know that this is a very critical sector that needs dedicated support from us as a department in ensuring that they set up and run sustainable SMEs and cooperatives. Then we have the National Informal Business Assessment Strategy, which is aimed at creating a conducive business environment for informal businesses and to provide appropriate business skills and as well as infrastructure support, because we know that our informal businesses are very, very strong. When we have economic crises, they still stand after those economic crises. And also we have interventions that we are running that have been driven by our minister in terms of national culture that is focusing on this sector, which is trying to address the challenge that we've been having as a country when it comes to this sector. So we want to make sure that even the local informal businesses are competitive and they have the appropriate infrastructure that can assist them to remain sustainable and also contribute in terms of job creation. Then in terms of our short-term priorities, the thing that we want to deliver as soon as possible, the issue of capacity building for our officials at local level, business development support, technology transfer, innovation, entrepreneurship, finalized incentives and access to finance. Here, we are going to review each and every incentive that we've received from the Department of Trade and Industry to ensure that it addresses our mandate, it assists us to address what we've been asked to deliver as the kind of small business. We are also pushing the element of public sector procurement. The President pronounced that 30% must be certified for our cooperative SMEs. Discussions have already started with the National Treasury on this because they have to issue a practice note that will direct all government departments as well as institutions to set aside 80% of their procurement spend for SMEs and cooperatives. Then the private sector procurement opportunities. This one is also critical for us, like I indicated, that their spend on procurement, the private sector, is much, much bigger than what government offers. So it's very critical for us that they buy into supporting SMEs and cooperatives. And also develop new policies, review existing policies, and introduce policies. You see when we present the APP that we are already looking at utilizing 2015-2016 to start the process of reviewing the National Small Business Act. Then in terms of long term, we'll be looking at the issue of the national survey because we don't have reliable information. We are relying on various sources which at NEDLAC, Minister will remember they were not excited about. The statistics that are utilizing currently, the reports that we utilize, because they say some of them are not credible, so we shouldn't continue utilizing those sources. Designing training programs to address skills gaps, including sector-specific interventions, develop key domestic and international markets, but we prioritizing the domestic market, because we cannot expect people to start penetrating the international market if they are unable to penetrate the local market. It's critical for us that we start with the domestic market and ensure that we have competitive economies and cooperatives to service the domestic market. Then the system relation of business development services to include the economic profiling, because we're having feedback, but we'll be having feedback engagements with them, because the mandate needs to be revised to address issues of economic profiling, market access, develop and review the regulatory environment. Some of these programs, the envisaged impact that we see, that our programs will assist in creating new jobs. We'll also look at the issue of private, public and private sector geared towards improving market access, including growth and development of black small businesses and cooperatives. Also, we're looking at the issue of increased cultural entrepreneurship in the country, creating a simplified political and regulatory environment, SMEs and cooperatives, development to eradicate poverty and inequality. I'm also emphasized that we're looking at having our SMEs and cooperatives driving the issue of food delivery at the local government level. So we are consulting with FOSTA on their back-to-basic approach to identify opportunities that will be available to our SMEs and cooperatives so that we can work together with them in addressing service delivery issues as well. As part of continuing with the envisaged impact, we are looking at the issue of the export development program to improve our economic abilities to export and reduce costs and risk involved in penetrating foreign markets. The provision of technical and business development services to targeted groups that will result in a benefit, improved quality of goods and services, access to local and international markets, and hence and sustainable enterprises, which will also assist in increasing employment. And hence supporting informal businesses, rural and township enterprises, because we know that the townships were created as dormitories, but now they have to be places where people can work and live in. So we'll be driving that progress. We are very happy that the Department of Economic Development decided to hand over the Township Economic Development, because we believe the largest department that can buy Township Economic Development. Then in terms of the budget, which is not the very good news, I remember when we presented last time to the Portfolio Committee, we were looking at billion to assist us to drive the ambitious targets that we have. But we've been allocated 3.5 billion over 3 years. I was looking at this figure, that's not even 3.5, it's just less than 3.5 billion. So we need to correct that and say it's 3.46 billion, so that you can know it's not even 3.5 billion that we've been talking about. Out of this 3.4 billion, 1.1 billion is for the first financial year, 84 will go to the compensation of employees. Goods and services is 38 million, then transfer payments is 925,128, and then payment for capital assets is 229. And then maybe to go into details, you see that the budget, the biggest chunk, which is 985 million, will go out. It's more of transfer payments. So we don't have a lot of money that we are going to decide as a department. CETA will be taking 478 million. And then CETA technology program is 182 million. So over 600 million will be going to CETA. SAWEN is the South African Women Entrepreneurs Network, which is receiving 16 million. ISIVANDE is 8.7 million. And then cooperatives, this amount, when we were still with the DTI, it was 100 million, but it has been reduced by 25 million, so they're receiving 25 million. And if you look at those figures, even next year, there won't even be a 1 million increase. It will be the same amount, which will be 75 million. We'll only receive an increase in 2017-2018. And then the business supply development program is 225 million. But I must clarify that under this program, there are three other programs that will be taken in on this 25 million. We have the instrument that is directed towards informal sector, shared economic infrastructure facility will be taking 50 million of this. We also have youth led business development supplier development program, which will be taking 20 million of this. And also we have a women business development scheme, which will also be taking a significant portion of this. So it will be up to us as a department to perform, because National Treasury have also undertaken to relook at our budget if we perform. So we'll have to perform. I know that I've been mourning on this slide about the amount, but I think the minister has adopted a more positive or reconciliatory tone towards this, saying we understand that we are operating in a very difficult environment. So we need to work with what we have and perform and ensure that people can see the need to increase our budget. So as a department, we are committed in ensuring that these resources are spent wisely and they are spent on high impact programs, and believe that with the support of the portfolio committee to be directing us as we move forward, we'll be able to achieve more with the issues that we have. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will break for 15 minutes.